You're listening to Joe McGee.
I don't care how bad a dog you think you are, there's a bigger dog around the corner, because life's progressive. Place for everything. You know where your bills are, where your insurance policies are, you know where your taxes are. Everything's got a place. What an incredible, peaceful feeling. Because once growth comes, if you can't organize the growth, you stop growing. You've got to know how to organize the growth. 10 times wiser and 10 times better than all the wise men of Babylon.
You are listening to Joe McGee. He'll be right back with more of today's message. But first, we'd like to tell you about this month's life-changing offer for your family. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. This set includes 3 audio messages that are thought-provoking and funny, a couple of prayer reminders, and 31 teaching cards to help you and your kids build a strong marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Your support goes to help grow the outreach of Joe McGee Ministries. Joe uses a laugh and learn approach that removes barriers and provides a refreshing point of view and a new hope for your marriage and family. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe.
Hello, this is Joe McGee. Welcome to Faith for Families. We're going to talk about teaching your children to love learning. Love learning. You know, if your kid doesn't love learning, they're going to be arrogant and prideful, going to fall on their face all the time. Go through life as a doofus. Nobody's going to be their friend because nobody likes a smart mouth, a smart aleck, or somebody does all the talking. People love people who like to listen. You know, if you're a great listener, you've got a lot of friends because very few people like to do that. So we're going to talk about a love of learning. This is from our seminar we did called 8 Things No Kid Should Leave Home Without, where we talked about you need a strong sense of self-worth because if you like you, other people like you. You know, there's 8 commands in the Bible that says love your neighbor as you love yourself. What if you don't love you? Well, your neighbor's in trouble. That's what's going to happen. It says in Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wife like you love yourself. Well, again, what if you don't love you? Well, that means your wife's in trouble. The only way you can know you're loved is if you're born again, because when you're born again, old things pass away, all things become new, and only then is the love of God shed abroad in our heart by the Holy Spirit. Now, the love of God is not shed abroad in our heart when we're born, but when we're born again. So we're really not capable of it, because there's only one source of love, and that's God. We talked about planning a vision because once you like yourself, you feel pretty good, you're ready to get up and go do something. Well, then you need a vision, and God gives vision. God gives great and incredible vision to every human that's ever been conceived. The third thing we talked about was the love of math, because once you have vision, you need a plan. How are you going to make that vision come to pass? That's why the Bible says, what man gets ready to build a tower unless he first sits down and counts the cost thereof, lest he get halfway through, not be able to complete it, and people mock him and say, well, now that's the man that started to build and couldn't finish. We talked about the fact that once you get these things done, that the fourth thing we talked about was organizational skills, because the first 3 things to get something going. You like yourself, you feel pretty good, you're not hanging out like a hermit somewhere, you're usually involved with people because you like yourself, so you don't mind being around others. You know how to honor other people and not hog all the conversation. You got a vision, you got a plan. Those things make things happen. Then once the plan starts moving, you need that fourth thing we talked about, which is organizational skills. Because once growth comes, if you can't organize the growth, you stop growing. You've got to know how to organize the growth. That's why it says in Ecclesiastes 3, there's a time and a season for everything. A time to plant, time to harvest, time to work, time to sleep, time to play, time to eat. There's a time for everything. And so you've got to understand the timings of God. So getting your things organized. Well, once you're organized, you're plateaued out again. The next thing is you've got to start learning again. Because the first 4 things, I've seen a lot of businesses, I've met a lot of ministers and seen ministries who have leveled out and stopped growing because, man, it was so exciting to know that God loves you, not just the worm of the earth, that you're somebody, you're the friend of God now, you're somebody special in God's mind, in His eyes, He's got a plan for your life, He's given you this incredible vision, you know, He's taught you how to do it, He's starting to speak to you, you hear the voice of God, you're making plans, you're running the numbers, you're getting organized, and it feels so good to be able to find a spoon in a drawer or know your clothes are hanging in the closet where you left them. You don't have to go looking for stuff, and it's not frustrating you haven't misplaced things because there's a place for everything. You know where your bills are, where your insurance policies are, you know where your taxes are. Everything's got a place. What an incredible, peaceful feeling. Well, then you get organized, but then it's time to grow again. Here's the problem. Up to that point with those first 4 things, You know, you feel good, you got a vision, you run the numbers, you got a plan, you organize. The problem is, the reason you're where you're at, the reason I'm where I'm at, is because I'm doing everything I know. I'm doing everything. Everything I own today, everything I have, everything I'm doing is because I am currently doing everything I know. If I ever hope to grow one inch beyond where I currently am in any area, spiritually, emotionally, financially, if I hope to grow any more, I will have to learn something I currently do not know. Did you get that? I'm going to have to learn something I don't know. You know, there's that scripture in Proverbs 13:20 says, if you want to be wise, you must walk with wise men. And it actually means wiser men. But a companion of fools will be destroyed. In other words, if I want to get better, I've got to run with somebody better than me so I can learn. That's what discipleship is. You know, we talk about it all the time, try to make it kind of overly spiritual. It's learning from somebody that's doing it better than you're doing it. There's no saying. Men are provoked to good works by seeing other men do things better than they're doing it. Better hunters, better fishermen, better golfers, better husbands, better fathers, better whatever. You know, better Christians, they're more integrity. That provokes men to good works because men are born competitive. They want to compete. Well, I want to be that good. I need to start acting better and doing right. So it's incredible how it works. But this love of learning, this is where it starts. It starts in the home. It starts in childhood. I need to develop a habit of always being willing to learn. Never reaching. This is a journey, not a destination. I'm going to always be growing in the grace. I will always be growing in the knowledge of my Lord Jesus Christ. It's a process. I need to learn that. So here's how you create a love of learning in children. Starts off. Jesus said that the meek, those that are humble and teachable, shall inherit the earth. It's in great importance that children discover a love of learning. They're going to have to learn this. Psalms 37:11. It's where it is. Psalm 37:11. But the meek, it doesn't mean weak now. Meek is not weak. Meek means teachable. You're open to new ideas, new thoughts. I'm teachable. Hey, I'll look at this. What is this? You know, Daniel did that when Daniel was taken as a slave to Babylon by Nebuchadnezzar. And remember what they did? They brought him into the king's palace. They're going to teach him the Chaldean language, the Chaldean religion, the Chaldean sciences, the Chaldean history. They're going to teach him all that stuff. The one thing they said they wanted him to do, among those other things, was eat the meat from the king's table. And Daniel had been told very specifically he can't eat that meat. Now, he's not been told he can't learn these other things because he knows what he believes. That's not going to change his belief system. And so he was willing to learn this other stuff, but he won't eat the king's food. And so they went to the thing where he said, if you'll feed me just vegetables and water for 10 days, then check me out, I promise you. And sure enough, he was. He was better. And eventually it was even said of Daniel that he and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were found 10 times wiser and 10 times better than all the wise men of Babylon. Isn't that incredible what God's trying to do? You got to be teachable. Pride is a horrible thing. Arrogance. You know how these kids are eager to prove they can do so. I can do that. Let me do it. And you've got to learn how to temper that as you're growing up. I don't want to stifle your love of learning, but I don't want you to get arrogant about it either, because this is an ongoing process. They say, I don't care how bad a dog you think you are, there's a bigger dog around the corner, because life's progressive. Isaiah 54:13, a great, great passage of Scripture, says, all of your children shall be taught of the Lord. All of my children, all of your children, all of our children shall be taught of the Lord, and then great shall be their peace and undisturbed composure. Well, I like peaceful kids, man. I'm telling you, I got six kids. I like them when they're peaceful. How are you going to get them that way? You got to teach them. Teach them that God's always teaching them.
Today, Joe brings you a message that will have you rolling with laughter and thinking about how God designed us to be relational from the very beginning of life. Start today to fight and overcome the tough challenges of marriage. But before we get into today's message, I want to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with today's biblical message.
Pride is a horrible thing. Arrogance. You know how these kids are eager to prove they can do so. I can do that. I can do that. Let me do it. And you got to learn how to temper that as you're growing up. I don't want to stifle your love of learning, but I don't want you to get arrogant about it either, because this is an ongoing process. They say, I don't care how bad a dog you think you are, there's a bigger dog around the corner, because life's progressive. Isaiah 54, verse 13, a great, great passage of Scripture, says, all of your children shall be taught of the Lord. All of my children, all of your children, all of our children shall be taught of the Lord, and then great shall be their peace and undisturbed composure. Well, I like peaceful kids, man. I'm telling you, I got six kids. I like them when they're peaceful. How are you going to get them that way? You're going to teach them. Teach them that God's always teaching them. You're always learning. You're not there. You don't have to feel bad if you don't know something. There are things you're still learning. I remember one time I was working with my high school students, teaching about gifts and callings, how everybody's gifted to do something. They're all different. You know, no two people are the same. No two snowflakes are the same. No two humans are the same. We're all created different. But I was trying to explain that. You know, there's a lot of things I'm not good at. And so I took a long piece of butcher block paper one day, and I taped it to the podium, the speaker's podium, and I just unrolled it. And I had hundreds of vocations. I said, here are all the things Mr. McGee is not good at. I am not a good air traffic controller. You would not want me in the tower out there at the airport today trying to land, you know, 747s. You wouldn't want that. I'm not good at that. I am not a good brain surgeon. You need brain surgery? You do not want me opening your scalp. That would not be good. I'm not a good dentist. You got a bad tooth? You don't want me with a pair of pliers working in your mouth. And I just begin to list things that I'm not, and I said, not only am I not good at these, I never will be good at these. And it doesn't bother me. So you can make fun of me, mock me. Well, you're not this. You're not an air traffic controller. You're not a dentist. No, I'm not. It doesn't bother me. I know what I am, and I know what I am not. Quit trying to be what you're not. You know, we're always trying to emulate something. Now, so many kids get frustrated. That's why even in high school classes, you'll notice kids, when it's time to take electives in high school where they can choose courses on their own, and what they'll do when the teacher hands them that form of what classes do you want to sign up for. What's the first thing a high school student does? Usually the first thing they'll do, they'll find their buddy. What are you taking? What are you going to take? What class are you going to be in? I want to be in class with them, or I want to be in class with them. Well, you might want to be in the class where you're supposed to be learning what you're supposed to be learning, because you go to the class with them, you may not be gifted like your buddy. And he's going to make an A in that class. You may flunk, which means eventually you'll end up working for your buddy because he's learning and you're not. You got to be willing to learn new information. Now, don't be arrogant. Be willing to learn. Look at this. Proverbs 6:16-17. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 16 and 17. God says this, there are six things which the Lord hates, yes, seven which are an abomination. One of them is a proud look. A proud look. Proud eyes, a proud look. God said, I hate proud. I hate pride because it means you're not teachable. If you're not teachable, you're shut off. I can't convict you of sin. I can't convict you of wrongdoing. I can't lead you. I can't guide you. You shut me out. You think you're God unto yourself. And that's a very dangerous place to be. The SAT people that write college entrance exams wrote this, said by the year, they said this back in the early 80s, that by the year 2000, that the average American will change vocations five times in their lifetime. Five times. And we've seen it happen. Why? The industrial age died and the information came along. The information age now. You know, we sell information. We package and market information. There's infomercials. You know, we got an infomercial. We're selling information. And so the economy's still there, it's just different. And here's what it's saying, five times. You know, my father worked for the same company for almost 33 years. So did my father-in-law. From the day he hired in to the day he retired, he worked in one place and one place only. That's pretty much unheard of. You know, things have changed. Those companies, a lot of them aren't there anymore. A lot of that stuff's been outsourced and whatever. There are still jobs, they're just very different jobs. Now, I've seen men get stubborn because I hired in as an electrician, a plumber, or whatever, and they don't want to learn anything new. They don't want to try to learn a computer. You know, they don't want to try to learn new skills. I met a great missionary one time. He said, at age 63, I bought myself a laptop computer and taught myself how to use a computer. He said, you know what that did for me? He said, that enabled me to reduce my overhead, my building. Instead of needing 40,000 square feet, I now only needed four. Instead of needing 14 employees, I only need three. And I was able to take God's money that people were giving me to reach a loss reach more people, be more efficient with that than I've ever been before. You think, well, what happened to the people that let go? Well, you know, here's the thing. This is a wonderful thing. They get an opportunity to develop more skills themselves, make themselves valuable, learn something new. Now, I've been there where I've been laid off. I know what it's like to walk into a plant that you worked at, and all of a sudden there's a lock on the gate, and they shut it down. It's not here anymore. What are you going to do? Well, that job doesn't exist anymore. There was only one of those jobs, and I had it. It's not there. So what do I do? Well, I'm going to have to learn how to do a new job. And the SAT people said, don't worry about it. It's normal that most Americans will change not jobs, but vocations five times. Five times in your life, you'll have to learn how to do a completely different job than you've ever done before. Acquire brand new skills, which means you've got to be teachable and you've got to be open. So one of the things we want to do for our child's success, for the future success, they've got to learn and be willing to learn new things and not get closed off. Here's what I like. Jewish fathers teach their sons that the most valuable thing they have is knowledge. I've got some friends of ours up in Port Chester, and I love what they teach their kids. They say, your knowledge is portable. You can take it with you wherever you go. Somebody can take your land. Somebody can take your country and your possessions. But we can always go somewhere else and get it back. That is as long as we have knowledge. That's why teaching kids is so valuable, so critical. Because, you know, I was flying down when we were coming down to do the taping. I remember sitting next to a petroleum engineer on an airplane. He was getting ready to launch out into a new venture. Here he is, 55 years of age. He's had a great job for 27 years. You know, he went to Texas A&M, got a good education, petroleum engineer. He said, but you know, me and three of my friends think we can do some of this ourselves. We'd like to start our own company. And said, I am sinking my entire life savings into this. He said, I'm not going blindly. I know how to do this. I've done it for others. I've helped others. And I'm wanting to step out and do this myself. And here's what he said. He said, you know, my best friend's worried about me. So what if you lose everything? What if you lose it all? Everything you spent 27 years savings for, what if you lose it? He said, yeah, the thing is, if I do lose it, I don't lose the knowledge I have. He said, I can go back out and start consulting again and make the same amount of money I'm making doing this if I lose it. He said, but I don't think I'm going to lose it. And what it is, he said, it's my knowledge that's valuable. I still have knowledge that's valuable to somebody. You know, you only get paid for two things on this planet, what you know and what you do. And if you don't know more than somebody else and you can't do more than somebody else, you don't get paid more than somebody else. Then that's what it says in Matthew 25:14, again about the parable of the talents, where one guy was given five, one, two, and one. This isn't communism. Everybody can get the same amount. They were given different amounts according to their individual ability to handle it. See, God gives different abilities. And what it is, if I can increase my ability, God gives me that option. I can go learn a new skill. I can learn to do something. I remember my daughters, I've got several daughters, and one of the things I've taught them, I said, you got to learn to run a 10 key. You know what a 10 key is? A calculator. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 0. You learn to run a calculator. And you learn it like you learn typing. You know, there are many classes that are free, extension classes. The Department of Agriculture offers classes in many states where you can go sign up and take a 6-week course for free at night, or you can take it on a Saturday and learn to run a 10 key. So why is that important? You know, if you run a 10 key, you can get a job at almost any bank in the world running a 10 key on Saturday and get paid double what you'd make if you're working for a hamburger place. And you get to sit down in air conditioning with nice clothes and you meet other people that have money. And I remember she just got a job with a great bank in a trust department. And one of the things they told her, the reason she was hired was not her great GPA, her degree from an excellent college in accounting. One of the reasons they hired her was her incredible skill in running a 10 key. It was not her 4-year college degree that got her that job. It was her 6-week free course in a 10 key that impressed them. And it's amazing. If you're willing to learn something new and increase your ability, it makes you more valuable. People will pay you for that skill. So you ought to always be learning new stuff. You know, be willing to expand your borders, get outside your box, learn something new. Don't just live in a rut all the time. And if you want your kids to live a full life, if the people were right, and I do believe they were, you know, that wrote the college entrance test. Certainly, here we are way past 2000. We understand that it's true. There are a lot of job changes. Everybody knows family members that's had to change vocations and change jobs and downsize and roll over. But each time, if you're open, you're willing, you can get an opportunity to learn a brand new skill and make yourself even more valuable than you were at the place you were at. So it's a great thing to do. Here's the next thing. Teach your children to ask questions. Girls do much better at this than boys, but you need to teach your children to ask questions. Ask, seek, and knock. Look at this. Matthew 7:7-8 says, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be opened. You got to be curious in life. Don't go through life like a tree stump with blinders on. Don't be like the little monkeys. Don't see, don't hear, you know, don't speak. Man, you need to get involved. People love people who are hungry for knowledge. They really do. They respect them. James 4, verse 2 says, you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. You know, one of my daughters, I've got three kids that are grown out of the house. I still have three at home. One of them asked me one time, said, Dad, I really love you and appreciate what you've done for me. But it always seems that, you know, my sister always got more in life than we did. Why? Is that just us or is there a reason? And I got to thinking about it. So, what, you know, it may be true. If I put a pencil to it, they may have. And she said, well, is there a reason? I said, well, yeah, probably there is. This is because they ask. They got more because they asked more. You know, it's no different than the disciples and Jesus. You know, you got the multitude following Jesus, then you have the 12, then you have Peter, James, and John, then you have John. The closer you got to God, the thinner it got. The closer you moved into the Lord, the more elbow and running room there was. God says this, you draw close to me, I'll draw close to you. You can have as much of God and as much of life as you want if you're hungry for it. But you've got to be teaching. You've got to be willing to ask these. James 1 verse 5 says this, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives liberally and upbraids not. In other words, God will not only give it to us, he won't yell at us when we ask for it. How much? As much as we want. Matthew 18 verse 4, great passage, said, whoever then humbles himself as a child, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Now, what do you know about a child? Humble. Not embarrassed to ask hard questions, goofy questions, silly questions. Not embarrassed at all. Ask a bazillion questions. Why? Because why does that happen, Daddy? Well, why? Well, why, Dad? Well, why? Why does this do this? Why? And they're always asking. You know, you almost have to grow up and become an adult where you stop asking questions like, well, I know the way. You know, that's a tough thing for men. That's why men don't ask for directions. It's an honor thing. Men gravitate where they get honor. And if they think they're stupid, they don't get honor. They don't like going there. So they'll drive out a tank of gas and brag about it. You know, took me 3 hours. Bless God, I finally found it. You know, but a wife, she doesn't mind. She'll stop and ask 50 people directions. Make 3 new friends in the process, you know. So guys really struggle with this probably more than girls. Need to acquire good study skills. One of the things every young person needs to learn, if you're going to grow in the love of learning, what holds people back is they don't think they can. So you've got to teach skills. It'd be like teaching somebody to be a carpenter, but you never show them how to use a hammer, saw, or T-square. If I'm going to be a great carpenter, I need to know how to use the tools. If I'm going to be a great student, there are tools for learning. How to read a book, how to take notes, how to take a test, how to file information away. There's skills that you have to be taught. And if you never taught them, I watch grown kids in Bible class, boys who won't open their Bible because they're not sure where Jeremiah is. They're not sure where to find 3 John. They're not sure where, they know where Hebrews is. So rather than being embarrassed flipping through the pages or just flat going to the index and looking it up, they'll just sit there and look arrogant. I'm not going to open my Bible. I'm just going to listen to the preacher. You know, I need to open my Bible. The reason you're not opening it because you know you can't find it and you don't want to look stupid.
Joe's going to be back in just a moment with a tool to help you build a God-based, stronger marriage. But before we get to today's final thought and take home, I wanted to let you know about this month's great radio offer. When you call and give a gift of $35 or more to help Joe continue to fight to reconcile families across this nation, Joe would like to thank you for your support by giving you a special radio package. It's called Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. The set includes 3 audio discs, messages that will guide you on building a better marriage, 2 cards designed to help remind you each day to pray for your spouse, and you'll also get a set of 31 Telling Your Children the Truth scripture cards. All 3 of these powerful items are designed to help you fight for your own family, to discover how you can build a strong family with joy, love, and the truth of God's Word. To get your Marriage Building 101 Essential Set, simply call us toll-free 1-800-482-5862. That number again is 1-800-482-5862. Be sure to tell the operator that you want the Marriage Building 101 Essential Set. That number again, 1-800-482-5862. Now, here's Joe with a tool for you to use in your marriage.
Talking on 8 things no kids leave home without, and we're talking about character. Character is what you do when nobody's looking. It means you do what's right. God is a righteous God. He talks about being righteous and righteousness. And there's blessings that go with righteousness. What is it? Do what's right. You know, all the time, I remember I've had so many different kinds of jobs growing up, and I always remember there's always somebody where, hey,
They won't know it. Hey, we can get away with it. Nobody's going to see it. There's always somebody with half a brain thinking that you can get away with something. You don't get away with anything. Some men's sins are dealt with in this lifetime. Some men's sins are dealt with in the next lifetime, but nobody gets away with nothing. You do what's right because it's right to do what's right. Remember when I was a school principal, we would relate stories to one another. One of the saddest stories I ever heard was a principal was getting ready to retire. And the school had grown. There's a lot of things he's dealing with, and teenagers just giving him a hard time, some of his staff. And so he's just trying to get out and retire. He's got about a year and a half left, and he wouldn't go eat with the staff. He wouldn't go in the cafeteria and eat with the kids. He'd bring a sack lunch. He'd go into the storage room. He'd go into the storage room every day at lunch, 30 minutes, walk in, shut the door, light bulb over. He'd turn it on, sit down on a chair, and he'd just sit and read his newspaper, eat his lunch in peace. He's just trying to relax, and you know, nobody can fault him. But for some reason, every day, right before he'd close his briefcase back, he'd stick two fingers up and he'd get two rolls of toilet paper off the shelf, because this is where they stored the paper towels, the toilet paper, the soap. He'd grab two rolls of toilet paper, put them in his briefcase, take them home, put them in the garage on the shelf. Well, it took a few months before somebody began to realize, man, the toilet paper usage has shot through the roof here. Why are we using so much toilet paper? They couldn't figure it out. So, well, the teenagers are getting in there and somehow they're breaking into the storage room and they're stealing it to roll yards with. We got to catch them. So what they did, they had a private eye come in, the administrator, and he puts a secret little, one of the tiny cameras up in the corner. And next thing you know, they're trying to figure out who's breaking in, and it's the principal. It's not a teenager. The principal's coming in to eat lunch every day, just being himself. And also, for some reason, every day, day after day, as they taped it, he'd take two rolls of toilet paper. So two times, that's 10 rolls a week, man. This guy's 40 rolls a month. I mean, we're losing hundreds of rolls here. And so all of a sudden, they went to his house and asked to go in and see, and they confronted him about it. And he admitted it. He said, yeah, I didn't think it was that big a deal. Just two rolls of toilet paper every day, 5 days a week, you know, 9 months out of the year. And what they found out, he had it all stored in his garage. And they fired him. He didn't get to retire. They fired him. Can you imagine sitting around the Thanksgiving table? Hey, Grandpa, what happened to your job? Well, I got fired, darling. Well, Grandpa, what'd they fire you for? Stealing toilet paper. Can you imagine how stupid that must have been? As small as it seemed, it's just toilet paper. Yeah, but it's not your toilet paper. You want toilet paper? Go buy some. Don't ever do shortcuts.
Call now 1-800-482-5862. That's 1-800-482-5862. You can also write Joe at P.O. Box 691-498, Tulsa, Oklahoma 74169. We're excited to hear about all the great things God is going to do in your life as you apply these principles. Join us when Joe continues this Laugh and Learn series on how you need the right tools to build a successful marriage. It's never too late to change your marriage.